Moncrief with Gas Networks Ireland. Aren't you tired of that ugly fuel storage tank, having to order and write that big check for the delivery guy? gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.
Today, the UN Human Rights Committee, as you've been just hearing on the news bulletin there, issued a ruling on the case of Siobhan Whelan, a woman who was denied access to abortion services in Ireland despite a diagnosis of fatal impairment. The UN Committee found that Siobhan Whelan had been subjected to cruel and inhuman and degrading treatment. And this is the second such finding against Ireland. On the line is Leah Hochter, Regional Director for Europe at the Centre for Reproductive Rights, which took the case. Leah, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
This is the second time that there's been this kind of a finding against Ireland. What could you explain to us what is the basis of these findings? Because is this committee allowed to say your, you know, a particular jurisdiction's abortion laws are too restrictive?
Yes, they are. Basically, this decision is issued by the committee in relation to the two international treaties that Ireland ratified in 1989. So the first of those is the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, and the second of those is the Optional Protocol to that covenant. And what the Optional Protocol does is it establishes a complaints mechanism by which individuals in a country that has ratified that treaty, so in Ireland, can submit complaints to the committee alleging that violations of their rights have occurred. And the committee then is given the jurisdiction to deal with those complaints, to assess all of the evidence and facts before it, and to issue a decision on the complaint. And that's what has happened today in Siobhan Whelan's case. So Ireland ratified these treaties in 1989 and accepted the jurisdiction of the committee to deal with complaints from people in Ireland, and Siobhan Whelan being one of those.
As I understand it, Siobhan Whelan was not provided with any information or advice on how to access legal abortion services abroad. Is that the case?
Yes, I think it is very common in Ireland that what happens for women and what happened for Siobhan Whelan is that when they make it clear to their doctors that they believe they will terminate pregnancy or that they would wish to access abortion services, they often are not then given any information as to how they can do that. They are told that it's not possible in this country, that it's prohibited under the law in this country. But they are then not given information or helped to make contact with legal services in another country. Mm. And that is what happened to Siobhan Whelan. So she was left pretty much on her own with her family to find out where she could access services legally in the United Kingdom, and then to make contact with the hospital over there in Liverpool and to travel over there, making all her own arrangements and engaging directly with the hospital to arrange her care there.
But there is a right to information in this country. But is it the case that, if you like, health services here are constrained from giving out that information?
Well, I think what the committee has said is that the chilling effect of Ireland's criminalisation of abortion, despite the fact that there is a law which allows women to access information on legal abortion services in another country, the chilling effect of the law that criminalises abortion if it's carried out here and that prohibits it with very serious threat of a prison sentence means that doctors and nurses in Ireland do not know that they are legally allowed to provide information to women, or makes them feel quite scared about what kind of information they can give. So there's an awful lot of confusion, and the chilling effect of the criminal law is to mean that often information is not provided, or that the information that is provided is very, very sketchy, that there's a lot of euphemisms used about how to travel or where to travel, in the sense of the word travel being used. Mm. But there isn't that kind of ordinary conversations that you would expect to take place between patients and their doctors around what the healthcare options available to them are, where they would be available, what they would involve. There isn't any referral from doctors here to providers and to doctors in the United Kingdom or other European countries. And a lot of the hurdles that women face and that Siobhan Whelan faced in terms of accessing information about where could she travel to, where could she access services, those hurdles and barriers are the result of the chilling effect, as the committee said, of Ireland's criminalisation and prohibition on abortion here.
Now, the committee did recommend some degree of compensation. In the case last year, the similar case, Amanda Mellett's case that you also took, the government paid compensation to her. Isn't that, in effect, admitting our laws are wrong?
I think it was recognition by the government of the very serious harm that Amanda Mellett endured, and recognition of the serious nature of the committee's decision in her case, which was unprecedented, not just in Ireland, but globally. And it was the government's recognition that they are obliged, under international law, to repair, to make redress to victims of human rights violations. And so their compensation was in recognition of the committee's decision.
Mm. When the government, and I don't know if you know this or not, but when they paid that compensation, were they very precise about what they were paying compensation for?
Yes, they said explicitly, and it's in the public domain, that they were paying the compensation in recognition of the committee's decision.
Right, okay.
They didn't qualify the payment of the compensation. They didn't nuance it. They just said simply that they're paying it in recognition of the committee's decision.
Presumably this builds up.
And also that it was ex gratia.
Yeah. Right, okay. But they're not saying we're paying you compensation on the fact that our abortion laws, as they stand now, need to be reformed, and this is by way of compensation for that.
I think they said that they were making compensation and were paying compensation to Amanda in recognition of the committee's decision. And the committee's decision says explicitly that Irish abortion laws violated the rights of Amanda Mellett, subjected her to cruel and inhuman treatment, and that Ireland is obliged to reform its laws.
Mm. Presumably this builds up more pressure on the government, albeit just moral pressure, but pressure nonetheless.
I think it does. I think it certainly should. I think what this decision, as you rightly pointed out, this is the second decision of its kind. And so what it shows is that women are having to travel for abortion services in a range of different circumstances every day. And that when they cannot access services in this country, that causes harm to their health, to their well-being, and it violates their human rights. And then what this decision also shows is that when such harm is inflicted on women and when they suffer those kinds of harms, they then are also having to have recourse to international legal authorities, international tribunals and regional tribunals to seek to vindicate their rights and to seek justice. And I think the pattern demonstrates that this situation really isn't sustainable for Ireland, and that internationally, under international human rights law, Ireland is obliged to remedy the violations that these women have suffered, and that includes changing its laws. So I think it's very clear that on the foot of these decisions, the government has responsibility to act and to enable change.
And on that point, as I'm sure you're aware, the British Health Service just published 2016 figures for people travelling to the UK for abortion, something like 3,200 people from the Republic, and that's the people who admitted to it. In a Brexit situation, presumably that might affect that. We just won't be able to export that problem anymore.
Well, I wouldn't want to kind of discuss the potential repercussions of Brexit, because I think they are currently unforeseeable. Mm. But I think what that situation does show is that were Irish women unable to travel to the UK as easily as they currently can in terms of legal regimes and immigration and just the travel in terms of and being able to access services in the UK, for example, that then there would be, as you point out, thousands of women every year who would either have to go to another country in Europe or would be faced with accessing services in Ireland or accessing the medical abortion pill in Ireland to try to end their pregnancies outside of a care pathway that would be clandestine under the current law if they were to do so. And I think that would put women in a very difficult situation. It would potentially lead to serious implications for women's health and their lives. So I think if Ireland really wants to move to a situation in which it's not dependent on the UK health services and on UK doctors and nurses, because we don't know what the implications or impact of Brexit will be, then legal change needs to happen in this country sooner rather than later.
Leah, thank you very much for speaking with us today. That's Leah Hochter, Regional Director for Europe at the Centre for Reproductive Rights.
Moncrief with Gas Networks Ireland. Aren't you tired of that ugly fuel storage tank, having to order and write that big cheque for the delivery guy? GasNetworks.ie/movetogas.